Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to BPCL 3Q FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan Sivasankaran from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tanvi. Good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome all the participants this morning and the senior management team of Bharat Petroleum Corporation Limited for this Q3 FY22 earnings call. I'd like to hand over to Mr. Piyush Burania, introduce the senior management and take the call forward.
Thanks, Mr. Varatharajan. On behalf of the BPCL team, I welcome you one and all to this post Q3 result con call. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements that we would make during this con call are based on our assessments of the matter and we believe that these statements are reasonable. However, their nature involves number of risks and uncertainties that may lead to different results. Since this is a quarterly result review, please restrict your questions to the Q3 results. I now request our Director of Finance, Mr. V.R.K. Gupta, who is leading the BPCL team for this call, to make his opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Q3 post-results con call. Hope you are able to go through our results for the quarter gone by. We would like to highlight a few points relating to the past quarter performance. At the macro level, despite the risk of Omicron, the recent quarters have emerged as quite promising for economic recovery, though slower than expected. Due to rapid expansion of vaccination drive, both rural and urban, demand have also picked up. In MS, we have recorded the highest growth among OMCs for Q3. All regions have shown positive growth of over 3% in Q3, topped by North at 6.64%. In HSD, BPCL decline was the lowest among the OMCs. During Q3, our market share growth in MS is increased by 0.48%, which is highest in the last 10 years, and for HSD increases 0.33% in terms of market share. It is after 14-15 that we have consistently crossing market share at 29% among PSUs in MS during quarter 3. We have launched one of major digital initiative called UFIL in retail segment. UFIL is a touchless fueling solution which was rolled out previous quarter. We are already surpassing an average of 2.5 lakh transactions per day in the 65 cities covering about 4,000 retail outlets. We are further expanding UFIL to more markets. World is preparing for a shift from fossil fuel to renewables across the world. India would be among the countries which will continue to grow in fossil fuel some more time, but we understand that we have to eventually move to clean energy. BPCL is committed for net zero at scope 1 and scope 2 level emissions and aims to be net zero by 2040. As a pilot project, we have already floated EOI for 20 megawatt electrolyzer at Bina Refinery to produce green hydrogen. Our investment in green hydrogen will further depend on the evaluation of technology, cost and government policy on the same. BPCL has a target to create a RE portfolio of 1 gigawatt over 5 years and estimated capex of around 5,000 crore for this purpose. In the long term, our renewable SBU has an aspiration to create a diversified portfolio of 10 gigawatt by 2040, which includes solar and wind as our first priority, and also looking at hydrogen and biomass projects. To begin with, we have identified some land parcels that are available and could be made available in close proximity to our refineries and major installations. We are also open to explore other locations based on project economics. We have a plan to solarize around 50% of outlets by 24, which will reduce the energy consumption from grid by almost 50% and help in reducing scope of 2 GHG emissions. BPCL has always been at the forefront of providing all forms of energy solution for personal and commercial mobility to our customers. We have made plans for setting up 1,200 EV stations across cities and national highways within this calendar year and 7,000 over the course of next 3 to 5 years. We are committed to being a major participant in the acceleration of EV adoption in the country and in the overall cost of eliminating range anxiety for the EV consumers. Under gas business, we have been emerged as a successful bidder in 6 GAs in 19 districts in the recently held 11th bidding round of PNGRB. We, along with our JVs, hold 33% market share presently in terms of sales in the CGD sector of the country and would be investing around 22,000 crore for development of 23 GAs, including 10,000 crore for the recent 6 GAs on standalone basis along with our wholly owned subsidiary of BGRL. Construction in our GS is in full swing, and we have completed around 4667 inch kilometer of steel pipeline, which will translate to around 380 kilometers in our new geographical areas, which we got already in 9th and 10th round. We aim to commission 100 CNG outlets by fiscal year end. Further, we currently dispense CNG in 794 retail outlets, and further by the financial year end, we aim to add another 300 CNG facilities in our existing MS and HSD retail outlets. On our non-fuel consumer retailing, currently we have around 303 in-and-out stores, branded in-and-out stores. Our focus is to expand non-fuel retailing in urban and rural markets. This is going to be one of its kind omni-channel retailing of fuel and non-fuel products. Our rollout plan is on schedule for additional 1,000 modern digital format stores, walk-in model trade stores along with the digital platform at our fuel station this calendar year, 30 of which shall commence operations by this financial year and by March 22. BPCL shall leverage its vast network and reach to rural households to be one of the most significant retail chains in rural segment. Under petrochemicals, we have fully commissioned the third unit of PDPP, that is the accolades unit, in December 2021. With this, all the units of PDPP, the niche petrochemical project at Kochi, are fully commissioned. BPCL is further studying the feasibility of having an ethylene cracker complex at Bina for production of bulk petrochemicals like LLDPE, HDPE and PP. Further, we have decided to discontinue the polyol projects at Kochi. Instead, we are evaluating the option of putting a polypropylene unit. BPCL has been aggressive in adopting emerging technologies to leverage opportunities. In line with the current times and with the objective of making BPCL's customer interfacing unit technology relevant, Project Anubhav has been initiated earlier. Initiatives under Project Anubhav includes a customer engagement platform called Hello BPCL, Sales Buddy, Urja Chatbot, etc. We have launched one-stop advanced loyalty program in the last quarter and planning to roll out on pan-India basis in the current quarter. By embedding intelligence in BPCL's operation, our digital nerve center, IRIS, is helping BPCL to optimize its operational performance and efficiency, enhancing security and safety and deliver the brand promise using latest technology. Currently, IRIS is integrated with 18,000 retail outlets, all the 87 retail terminals, all the 53 LPG plants and 25,000 plus tankers. In case of other products, LPG, we have a market share of 27% in Q3. In case of ATF, we grew by 33% as compared to Q3 of previous year. As we are primarily focused on the international sector, ATF sales is yet to pick up, as scheduled international flights are still not allowed to operate. With improved economic sentiments across the globe, increased mobility coupled with the reduced refinery runs has led to improvement in MS cracks to an average of $12.85 per barrel in Q3 from an average of $9.7 per barrel in Q2 of FY22. In case of HSD, lower exports from China along with lower global inventory levels and winter heating demand have led to elevated cracks in HSD at $12.61 per barrel in Q3 from $8.13 per barrel in Q2 of FY22. When we compare Q3 versus Q2 on sequential basis of current financial year, the Indian basket of crude oil has increased to $78.72 per barrel from $72 per barrel in the previous quarter, and the rupee is almost hovering around 74 per dollar. BPCL GRMs have improved from $9.69 per barrel in Q3 as compared to $6.04 per barrel in Q2 of the current financial year. The refinery throughput was at 160% of the nameplate capacity in Q3, means almost we have reached pre-COVID levels as compared to 104% for Q2 in the current year. The throughput for both the refineries was at 7.95 MMT for the quarter and at 31st December, as compared to 7.16 MMT in Q2 of current financial year. The distillate yield in Q3 is at 84.30 as compared to 86.45% for Q2 of the current year. For Q3, the revenue from operations stood at 1,18,000 crore. Further, for the first time in history of BPCL, we crossed 3 lakh crore in revenue for a 9-month period and at 31st December. The profit after tax stood at 2,462 crore. Again, as the capex target of 10,000 crore during the financial year, we have already spent over 9,346 crore during the 9 months ended 31st December 2021. This also includes BORL investment of 2,472 crore. Our borrowings as on 31st December stood at 24,164 crore as compared to 21,000 crore as on 30th September 2021. These are excluding the lease obligations of around 8,000 crore. The debt equity ratio as on 31st December is at 0.5 as compared to 0.4 at the end of Q2. as on 31st December 2021, we have only around 196 crore outstanding receivable from Government of India. There is no under recovery for PDS SKO during the quarter gone by. On consolidated basis, with respect to Q3 revenue from operations, stood at 1,17,703 crore, while profit after tax stood at 2,8805 crore. And consolidated basis, the refinery throughput was to the tune of 9.94 MMT. I now invite for questions and for any clarifications. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amit Rustogi from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, sir, for giving me opportunity and congratulations for posting a wonderful set of numbers. So my first question relates to your CapEx program. So when we are moving towards the green energy initiatives, what is the kind of IRR we are targeting on these projects? And in the past 2 years, we have seen that we have refrained from, you know, announcing big projects because we were under privatization. But now suddenly we are seeing, you know, flurry of projects from BPCL. So do you think that the privatization process may not go through? And, you know, so we have initiatives on the project side now, really?
Let me answer the second question first. So in terms of privatization, as earlier also we have clarified, we don't have any role in the entire process. Our role is submitting the information and open the information for the due diligence. Comes to the second, in terms of the projects, as a business on a going concern basis, we have to take up the project, and when we are transitioning is happening from fuel to non-fuel, we should not delay any of the projects. And second thing is that we have larger ambitions in terms of future growth and sustenance of the organization. That was the reason we are exploring various projects like petrochemical, non-fuel retailing, and including the renewables. And the first question, when you are asking the renewables, the total project outlay, what we are expecting is that in next 5 years, we want to reach around 1,000 megawatt capacities with an estimated capex of around 5,000 crore. When it comes to IRR, yes, definitely, if it is not commercially viable in any of the project, generally we don't take, because there is no obligation to take any of the project if the IRR commercially not viable. So generally we take around 12% or 15% small mm-hmm. projects. In case of larger projects, if there are some intangible benefits or any obligation, maybe on the lower level thresholds we'll take. But otherwise, if it is not commercially viable, then we don't take up any projects.
Okay, so that was helpful. And so second question relates to the LPG subsidy. So you mentioned that you have an outstanding of 198 crore from the government. So is this including the outstanding for the December quarter as well, or this is pertaining to the only previous quarters?
This is as per the subsidy mechanism. This includes the December 21 quarter, whatever subsidy as per the subsidy scheme, whatever we have to recover, that is outstanding.
Okay, but we have accounted for some subsidy for the third quarter as well.
Whatever as per subsidy mechanism, what is eligible for BPCL, that we will account on a quarterly basis.
Okay, sir. Great. Thank you, sir. Thanks for answering my questions. Best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Patil from Reliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for an opportunity, sir. Sir, I will continue with the previous question. Sir, could you please tell us which category of LPG consumer is getting a subsidy through DBTL? Is it a BPL customer or PMUI or domestic? That is my first question.
It is for the domestic customers, and it depends on the area, the geographical location. Just to clarify the you know, the previous question also, that subsidy, as DF just told, that as per the mechanism it is being followed, and the subsidy element is very less, like it's not much, and it is including December. And depending on the geographical location for far-flung, for the distant areas or, you know, the location, the subsidy amount is decided.
For all,
okay. For all customers.
Okay. And the second question related to revised estimates for FY22 in yesterday's budget. So the revised estimates for FY22 for direct benefit transfer to LPG customers, this amount has been slashed by 73% compared to the budgetary estimates for the same period. So we are not able to understand in the rising crude price scenario who will absorb the burden of LPG under recovery. And do you see increase in receivables in the future due to these under recoveries on LPG? So can you throw some light on this topic?
We are at to study the final print of finance bill. Maybe we can comment only after full study what is the impact on this particular area. We are at to study fully.
So for your information, I can provide you a number quickly. The budgetary provision for the FY22 was close to 12,480 crores for DBTL. And now it has revised downward to the level of 3,400 crores. So can you tell us who is going to absorb the burden of LPG under recovery?
I cannot comment because this is a controlled product. What mechanism the government of India will suggest later, that we are not clear once we get the final notification on this, how the burden will be shared or whether in the long term there will be any burden or not. Because generally if you see the LPG prices in the peak summer, it will be on the downside, and peak winter it is on the upside. So we are not sure on an overall basis what is the mechanism government of India is going to implement. This is a controlled product. We cannot comment beyond.
And my next question is related to, again, the blending into the auto fuel. What is the proportion or a ratio of a blending petrol versus unblended petrol? Can you give us some numbers?
So I can give you a number on, if we see April to December, it's near about 7.5%. So that's on the weighted average basis. And there are various, it could be a 5% blend, 10% blend. So depending on that, but I have just given you the weighted average figure, that is 7.5%.
Sir, we are more interested into the blending petrol versus non-blending petrol.
Some cases if ethanol is not available at some particular point of location, maybe unblended petrol also is going to the market. But right now, exact number we don't have, maybe we can calculate and provide that. April or December, how much unblended petrol has gone to the market.
Okay. And is this a right understanding, sir, that private oil retailers do not blend ethanol or biodiesel?
Yes. They don't blend.
They don't have any obligation, but we are not sure whether they are blended or not.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. That's really helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Rohra from Smartsun Capital Pte Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. A very good morning to you and the entire team at BPCL. Sir, so first of all, many congratulations on posting very healthy set of results in a very challenging environment. So, sir, I've heard you saying that, you know, our total receivables from government is only 196 crores. Now, sir, the reason I touch upon this point is because, you know, yesterday after the union budget, you would much appreciate that all the oil marketing companies actually got slammed by nearly 6 to 8%, because there is obviously a fear. I mean, there was a perceived fear which categorically stated that, you know, the OMCs would bear this LPG burden. But now you, sir, after clarifying this, that the total receivable is only 196 crores and the Saudi cracks of LPG have actually come down after December in January. So it clearly categorically states that oil marketing companies do not bear any LPG burden. I mean, can you categorically mention this, sir? Because, you know, obviously our company is also being privatized, and the lower the price of the share, the lower the value the government gets. You know, so, you know, suppressing share prices, you know, is not the best alternative for the government to realize maximum value for itself and for its shareholders. You know, so can you please categorically state that oil marketing companies do not bear any LPG burden? And sir, secondly, my question is on the privatization front. You know, I mean, this process has gone on well over 2 years. So can you please help now understand where are we in the stage of privatization? Because Vedanta has categorically mentioned that we have finished the due diligence. So now can we assume that financial bid stage is approaching and, you know, we are on that, you know, milestone right now, sir? Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Two questions. One is on LPG. You know this LPG is a controlled product and the pricing and everything is declared by Government of India only, decided by Government of India only. And with respect to the budget allocation, lower budget allocation, and finally how it translates to the OMCs, I cannot comment anything since it is a controlled product. The second thing is disinvestment. Disinvestment, like yesterday also, they have indicated it may not happen before March 22. It may push it to the next financial year. From company point of view, we don't have any major significant role in the entire process. Only DPM is handling. So whatever due diligence data requirements are there, every quarter we update the data requirements in the portal and the bidders, they are continuously, they are accessing the data. And for Q3, during Q3, there is no major event happened in terms of bidder visits to our company premises and other things. And the status quo is same, but otherwise we are continuously updating, we are getting some queries and we are replying. That process is on.
Okay. And sir, I mean, just for the, on the first question, you know, which you answered. So, sir, I mean, it's also safe to assume that in a Q3 P&L, we have not accounted for any loss of LPG. Is my understanding correct on that?
No, there is no loss or gain. I'm saying this pricing is controlled by Government of India. What we said, receivable okay. From Government of India, only as per the subsidy scheme, what oil companies are eligible. Only what is eligible only we have accounted. So other things in terms of pricing and under recovery on LPG, since it is a controlled product, I cannot comment anything on this.
Okay. Fine, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Baheti from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I have a couple of questions. First one is, like if I see over the last 1-2 months, despite of crude oil prices going up almost by $10-$15, the retail prices are constant. So just wanted to get a flavor that how the marketing margins for especially MS and HSD are moving in the scenario when like the final retail prices are frozen, not moving in line with crude oil prices. Is there a under recovery or is there a significant shrinkage in the marketing margins currently because the fuel level retail prices are not changing?
Manoj, earlier also we have clarified on this. When we have to study the marketing margins, we have to take a look at it in a longer term perspective. Maybe there may be certain periods where the marketing margins are lower than our standards. Certain periods, definitely the marketing margins are higher than what is the standard margin. But overall, what we look at it is on an overall, maybe on a yearly basis or a multiple yearly basis, we generally keep comfortable margins what we are eligible and what we are supposed to get.
Okay. And sir, what are those normalized margins like on a yearly basis? I understand, like in a quarter, it can be higher, in a next quarter, it can be lower because of XYZ reasons. But like on a long-term perspective, what are those normalized margins which are like a reasonable return on our investment on the marketing side?
I cannot comment individual product-wise margins, what is the standard margin. But to give a comfort on a long-term basis, we continue maintain our margins.
Okay. And it is like in a comfortable positive zone, right?
Right.
And secondly, sir, just the extension to the question by previous participant, just wanted to get a color. Is I understand that LPG is a control product, but vis-a-vis international prices, are we having a significant lower realization overall in LPG, considering the current recent high prices of LPG, especially in the subsidy scheme?
You know, we have not increased the RSP, and it's a controlled product. Beyond that, I cannot comment anything.
Okay. But sir, your realization is RSP plus subsidy from the government. So RSP plus subsidy minus the international parity price. So only that context I just wanted to understand, that is there a big negative there, or is it the way you answered for MS and HSD. So on LPG also, is it there that on a normalized basis, we will end up making positive margins, or we have to...
I'm one thing in clarifying, MSHSD is a decontrolled product, so we can have certain clarity, and LPG is a controlled product. What we said, what is required from Government of India, what is the oil companies are eligible as per the subsidy scheme, we accounted. What is not eligible, we cannot account it, and beyond that, we cannot comment.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shabri Hazrika, from individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm from MK Global. So I have two questions. The first is related to HPCL has related to your marketing performance. So HPCL has mentioned that it was inventory loss on excise duty cut, which was responsible for like weaker marketing performance during the quarter. Just wanted to understand, is it a normal phenomenon? Because in the past, we haven't actually seen this kind of an impact. Even when in Q1, when excise duty was sharply raised, it was not that the marketing inventory gain went up significantly. So is there any change, or it is generally an usual formula that whenever there is an excise duty?
There is no change.
Yeah.
Can I reply? Is that over?
Yeah, yeah, please.
Anyway, there is no change of calculation because across India, beyond refinery, once the product is moved from the refinery, it becomes a duty-paid product. After that, if there is any duty increase or decreases, the valuation of the product automatically changes. When you say last year, then when there is a duty increase, definitely the valuation of inventory will go up, but it may be partially offset with the actual crude price downfall. That may be the reason last year it may be reflected. At a constant prices, for example, if there is any excise duty increase or decrease, finally, it will reflect on the positive side or negative side in terms of the inventory valuation, mainly on the trading gains during a particular period.
Okay, so that was one time. So unless there's a further excise duty cut, it won't be there, right?
We don't know. We cannot comment on the government policy.
No, if there is no excise duty cut, then there won't be...
Definitely. It's a normal product movement prices, whatever international prices, if there is any movement, only to the extent there may be some trading gains or losses.
Right, and secondly, excise duty is something which is originally paid by refineries because excise duty is part of the manufacturing process.
Right.
But is there any counter impact of the same on refining margins during the quarter?
No, if there is any change in the excise duty, it will not impact any refining sale margin.
Yeah, because your GRMs have been like close to $10 in Q3. So I'm just trying to know.
No, that I have already explained because during this quarter, the MS and HSD cracks both have improved significantly. Because the product demand have increased, whereas the supply side, the refineries have not run up to the pre-COVID level capacities.
Okay, so it was predominantly the core business on which drove the GRM, yeah. Right?
Right.
Okay, and second, I've got two small questions. Firstly, what was the BORL profitability for Q3?
BORL profit for Q3 was 369 crores.
369 crores, and its GRM should be?
9.8
per barrel. 9.8, okay. And lastly, on the LPG front only, we understand about the subsidized part, but was there any impact on the non-subsidized LPG margins during the quarter? Because there's a sharp rise in global prices, but the real prices were not increased significantly. Even for the non-subsidized component, it didn't go up commensurately. So was there any... Any impact on the non-subsidized marketing margins during the quarter?
I have already clarified on LPG. Beyond that, we cannot comment anything.
Okay. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thank you very much. Trust all of are keeping well. So my first question is on the notes under emphasis of matter, where there is a comment made by the auditor on the capital gains and the goodwill treatment as a result of your transaction to take over BORL. So how do we understand this?
To clarify that, we have acquired additional stake and we have taken the controlling stake in BORL in Q2. As per the accounting standard, for example, if we are taking any controlling stake, we have to carry out the fair valuation of the assets. So within 1 year period, we have to complete the entire fair valuation of all type of assets, all categories. So in Q2, actually, we have done a provisional valuation for certain category of assets. So wherever the fair valuation and what is the our investments, earlier investments you have made, the differential we have to recognize as goodwill. in the books of accounts. So Q3, we have not done anything, but it is a continuation of Q2 impact.
So there is no implication in terms of any provision required in your account, right? Just a matter of operation.
No, nothing. Because as a accounting standard, once the final valuation, fair valuation completes, then we have to reallocate the entire value to various assets. If there is any surplus or deficit, then either goodwill or capital reserve we have to create.
Okay. So the next thought is, can you give us some indication in terms of what is the potential revenue and EBITDA you can expect from the petrochemical business in Kochi now that all the units are commissioned?
We cannot give any guidance in terms of the revenue from operation because it all depends on the pricing of petrochemicals. When you see, you can witness in the last quarter, actually, the prices of petrochemicals have significantly, it has come down. So we cannot give any revenue guidance. But broadly, what we can explain, today we can say all three units have been very well integrated and commissioned. In fact, the last week of January, some of the units, we have reached operating capabilities of around 70% to 80%. Whereas in the earlier quarter, it was only 50 to 20%. So now successfully around 7 to 10 days, we have come out all the technical problems and we could run the, ramped up the capacity and it is running the units around 70 to 80% levels. So definitely it should improve the refining capacity utilization as well as PDPP capacity utilization.
So the petrochemical business is now in commercial operation from both quarters?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So one last thought, in terms of your outlook for BORL, what is the kind of expectation you have in terms of the capacity utilization and the profitability of BORL for next year?
Only present capacity utilization is 7.8 MMPTA. So if the crude, if the product demands continue at this level and we are, the diesel growth comes to the positive side, definitely we will be in a position to take the capacity utilization more than 100% level. Except shutdowns. If there is any shutdowns planned in the next year, there may be small cut in the refinery throughput. Otherwise, we are at pre-COVID levels and we can utilize the maximum capacity.
In Q3, it was over 100%.
BORL.
Okay. And can you quickly give us the 9-month profits for BORL?
517 crore.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll join the team.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kirtan Mehta from Bob Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving this opportunity. One question on in terms of the capex split over next.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Mr. Mehta, there is a lot of echo coming from your connection. Yes, now it is clear. Mr. Mehta, you can go ahead. We request you to join the queue back as there is no response. We'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Nitin from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is related to your CAPEX plan. So you mentioned that you have cancelled polyols project and you would be focusing now on a polypropylene project. So why was the polyols project cancelled and why not to focus on polypropylene? And secondly, what is the capacity that you're looking at in terms of polypropylene production? What is the estimated CAPEX in that project that's there? And related to that, sir, why are you not considering a phenol project? And apparently, phenol is in undersupply in the country and it's largely, I mean, imported. And you have all the requisite raw material in terms of benzene and propylene in your own, as your own refinery product. So why a phenol production was not considered? So that's my first question.
First question for polyol projects. This project was approved in 2018 by the board at an estimated project cost of around 9,200 crore with a basic estimation plus or minus 20%. But at that point of time, there was no BDEP and licensor selection. So we can come to a closure cost estimations only after selection of licensor and once we have the BDEP package. So in the last couple of years, actually, this licensor selection have been completed and this BDEP package completed. Now the revised cost has increased from 9,000 crore level to around 13,000 crore plus or minus 10% level. So one is that region, the project costs have significantly improved based on that, the project economics have significantly changed. The second thing, this polyol definitely is a niche petrochemicals. Based on our learning curve in PDPP, in fact, technically, we have taken a longer period for stabilization, and we have faced many technical problems when we have commissioned this PDPP project. So now, anyhow, we are okay with the PDPP project, but taking the niche petrochemical products with a high complexity, when the costs are very high, when definitely the project economics and IRRs are not lucrative based on the current trend, we decided not to go for complex projects under niche petrochemicals. And instead, it is polypropylene is a better technology available, and we are doing already in various other refineries, we are exploring the similar projects. So we have decided with a lesser project cost, and it gives some more operating efficiencies in terms of project running. That was the reason we have selected polypropylene to explore further.
Understood, sir. So your estimates for this, the capex in polypropylene, and what is the expected timeline capacity that you're planning?
No, we have to take a detailed feasibility study reports. Just now we have approved for carrying out this DFR and exploring. Maybe after some point of time we'll get a clarity what capacities, and our objective is today at Kochi Refinery around 450 ton per annum, TMT per annum of propylene we have to utilize for value addition. So with that background, whatever capacity is suitable and economics of scale, we will decide.
Sorry, so that was 400,000 tons you mentioned?
450 TMT propylene availability.
Understood, sir. And sir, the question around phenol. So why are you not considering phenol? Because it has been undersupplying the country and it's imported.
We have to study whether can we integrate phenol manufacturing facility with polypropylene availability today. Why we are doing polypropylene is mainly availability of propylene and what is the value addition we can do. I'm not sure whether phenol can be taken up or not. We are not studied.
Understood, sir. And sir, my second question would be, so given that there's a privatization process on, so if a new management comes in, what are the chances that these projects would continue as planned and it won't be reconsidered by the new management which are coming in? So so how does that work out?
Our view, definitely these projects, it adds value to the organization. For the growth of the organization, when commercially viable projects are taking up, I don't think any new management comes, they will take any second view on these projects. One is it is good for the refinery. Tomorrow, for example, any transition happens, if there is any shortfall of the demand of any product, there is at least some capacity we can take it for value integration. And commercially, these projects are viable. So I don't think any new management will take a different call on these projects. And beyond that, we cannot comment what is the view on what is the business thought process of the new management.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions. That would be all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishnu Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Wanted to understand the PDPP profit or gain at an EBITDA level for the first 9 months in this quarter, if you could give that number.
Actually, there is no relevance for this number because this plant is operating at a 15 to 20% level. The contribution is very insignificant. If you ask me, the contribution is on negative side for Q3. So it is not relevant for Q up to April to December. It is under the stabilization period. When plants are operating at a 20%, 15% level, whatever number I give, there is no relevance.
So no, I understand.
But definitely Q4, we expect at least good operating capacities we will reach. Then we can share.
No, the question is that, is it running into hundreds of crores or it will be much less on an EBITDA level?
Much less. It will be around 5,200, either this side or that side.
So going forward, when you report this number, it will be part of your GRM. Is that right, understand?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Got it, sir. Second would be in terms of the Saudi crude discounts that you are getting versus last quarter, the number has steeply gone up to about, I think last quarter was about half a dollar or so for heavy crude. Now it is almost close to $2. Would this negatively impact the GRMs just wanted to understand on the crude sourcing side, how are you seeing things? I understand the cracks are improving, but on the sourcing side, if you could just give some thoughts.
So on the crude sourcing side, if you see Q3, actually it's a premium around $1. If you see from countries which we are sourcing, around 25% is Saudi Arabia, a similar percentage, 27% is from US, then we have from Iraq. These are the countries with significant sourcing of crude which we take.
Okay. Are you seeing some, the cost going up on this side? That is the question.
No, generally Saudi OSP, they declare on month-to-month basis.
Correct.
Most of the months they declare the OSP, say their premium or discount in line with the market trends, whether Brent Dubai market trends basis they declare. But Q3, they declare the OSP premiums much beyond the market trends, around $1.5. But in the latter stage, they have corrected that.
Got it, sir. And then the last question would be that what was the closing inventory price of the stocks that we're carrying, or Brent? Would it be 79, 80, or what price levels?
Around $78.
Around $78 our crude inventory valuation.
Got it, sir. And one final suggestion from me. Earlier, a couple of years ago, you used to give the inventory gain separately and inventory loss. In between, you guys had, across all OMCs, you had taken a call not to give that number. But honest suggestion is that as analysts, it would always be easier for us to work with a core GRM and not taking the inventory gain separately. This kind of reporting actually does not really help the analysts to project the numbers because the quarterly variations are quite wide. So I would sincerely urge that maybe again you can probably possibly think to add the or give separately the inventory gain and loss on the refining side again. This is just a suggestion from it.
But once again, let me clarify, to help the analysts only, we have again started giving the marketing share trading in losses. But refinery share earlier also we have clarified because my average inventory carrying is only 7 to 10 days, okay, and my monthly procurement is on monthly average basis. So logically, I should not calculate anything on account of inventory gains or losses in terms of refinery performance. Only in certain periods of time, for example, when any old batches still it is there in the inventory, if the actual consumption is not happening on FIFO basis, yes, there may be some gains or losses. But otherwise, logically, if you see when our inventory holding is a 10 to 11 days, when my monthly procurement cost is monthly average. So one should not calculate any core GRM. That is our understanding. That was the reason we have stopped.
I am sure that this time around your GRM at least $3 to $4 should be inventory gain. So that's from a computational point.
I'm saying we have stopped calculating because there is no scientific methodology of calculating. Because logically in operations, when physical movement should happen on FIFO basis, sometimes the physical movement may not happen on FIFO basis. Some old crude can continue in the inventory. So definitely in quarter on quarter basis, this way or that way it can happen. But if you see logically, when inventory carrying days are only 11 days or 10 days, my monthly procurement cost is monthly average. I don't think we have to calculate 4GRM separately because BPCL, we don't have any very large pipeline capacities. We have only coastal locations, and that is the reason our inventory carrying is only 10 to 11 days.
Got it, sir. Just a suggestion because other OMCs were giving this number earlier, hence I just thought would flag it off. Anyway, thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Handa from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So this was a question again on this additional excise on blended fuels. I wanted to understand it more from a diesel perspective because petrol we understand is blended in large parts of the country. But on diesel, my understanding is there's not too much of blending happening right now. And if that is the case over the next 9 months, then in October, does this mean that in large parts of the country, there will be 2 rupees excise on the price of diesel, or is there any risk that you might have to absorb some of this?
We can give only the facts which are there. So as you rightly said, yes, the blending of diesel with biodiesel is very minuscule. And going forward, so announcement has been made. We would have to see how things progress.
So can you provide any further color, like how will this work if the situation were to be like this in October as well?
At this point of time, we don't have any, what is the methodology, how do we implement, for example, if they say from 1st October, there is a differential tariff of 2 rupees, we have to study and then only we can come to a conclusion, okay, this will be the impact. Today, as of date, we have only the historicals, what is the branding and other things. But after October, how it happens, we have to study and then only we can comment on this.
Okay. And is there a possibility that you have to bear this additional burden? I mean, is that a risk? Or would it be a pass-through?
No clarity on this person. As of yet, no clarity. How we talk?
Okay, and just factually, do we know how much of blending is happening in diesel right now? Or how much is not?
It is less than 1%.
It is less than 1% for diesel presently.
Okay, and so basically it's hardly happening anywhere.
Yeah, that's
okay. That was it from me, so thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pinakin from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. So, sir, you mentioned about setting up 1,200 EV pumps, EV stations in this year. So, sir, can you just walk us through the economics of this entire foray in terms of what is the capex for the 1,200 stations or for one station? How is profitability going to be measured? What is the kind of payback that you expect? Because if you're going to roll it out this year, you would have basically have those details already with you.
Yeah, we are planning 1,200 EV stations for the calendar year. Maybe limited number before 31st March, but maximum EV conversion happens only after March only. But in terms of capex, at least the rough calculation, we are expecting maybe 5 lakh to 12 lakh rupees per RO station. It depends on whether a two-wheeler EV charging station or four-wheeler charging station and what type of capacity we have to take. But otherwise, if you talk about the overall capex, I don't think it is a very big capex. 1,200 into 10 lakhs, if you see, it's only 120 crore in terms of capex investments. In terms of profitability and other things, we are not sure whether what level of charging happens at the retail outlet. We are yet to study on the business model, what revenues and other things it comes. But otherwise, the capex size is around 120 crore for this 1,200 retail outlet.
Sure, sir. So just trying to dig more. Now, as this picks up further, do you see this cannibalizing the gas charging that you're doing at your outlets? Or do you see those two, growing separately? Or will it cannibalize the petrol and diesel? So basically, how do you see this, station being rolled out in terms of, which one do you think it eats up more?
We don't have any clear idea, but at least as per our aspiration, we want to convert maximum of our retail outlets as energy stations. So these stations can provide all type of energies, either MS or HSD or CNG or electric vehicles. But in the coming years, which one will impact which one, no clarity, because once the vehicle should come into place, then only we can comment what percentage of vehicles, EV-based vehicles will come into the market. Then we can comment on what would be the impact on this.
Sure. So just to clarify, the profit and profitability will only be known later when you have, the throughput in terms of the vehicles coming in and charging, and then only we'll have a more clearer idea.
More clarity, right?
Understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayank from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the call, sir. Just two questions. One was on the capex side. Can you just help us on the outlook for capex for this year and fiscal 23 and fiscal 24, and how much of that is going towards the new fuels as well as the petrochemical side going forward in terms of overall capex that you'd be spending for the next 2 years?
So for fiscal 23, the numbers for refinery is around 1,300 crores, or petchem some 2,600 crores. Marketing side is some 2,300 crores. Equity investments in the JV subsidiary is around 1,800 crores. And the other projects is some 2,000 crores. So total capex coming to some 10,000 crores. And similar figure we are also seeing for financial year 24.
Okay. And in terms of the breakup, would you know how much is kind of going into the existing business and the new business that you are trying to develop across chemicals and other things, alternative fuels? Would you have a rough clue?
Roughly, if you see, for the next couple of years, our capex plan, the major chunk will go to petrochemicals provided if the DFR is completed and if it is commercially viable project. Maybe mid of 22-23 will come to know what is the size and what is the configuration. If the project what we are initiating it is commercially viable, definitely the project cost will be around 30,000 crore plus at Bina Refinery. And the second one is for the existing business, if you exclude CGD, we are treating CGD as a new business. So CGD will be around 20-25% of our total capex. It will go for CGDs. And petrochemicals, if this project comes, significant portion will go to the petrochemicals. And normal continuation, our existing retail outlet, network expansion, and refinery and other installation, it will be around 20-25% broadly.
Got it, sir. And I think the second question was more related to, I think, on the BORL side. Then have you started putting in terms of your volume numbers, including BORL now? Because I thought it's not including BORL in the overall throughput, I thought.
So, no. In consolidated, you will find BORL is included because it becomes a 100% subsidiary. But standalone basis, correct, definitely, since there, you know, merger happened, standalone, we are not including BORL. In the hand, okay, handout, it is not there. Maybe next time onwards, we can include consolidated numbers. Throughput, sir.
I got it. Okay, so thanks for that clarification. And so the last question was more related to your, I think, announcement around what you are doing with BARC. So can you just give us an idea of what the plan is and how are you kind of thinking around that on electrolyzers?
So we have entered into an MOU with BARC, and that is towards the development of technology for electrolyzer.
Correct. So, like, are you going to manufacture it yourself and use it yourself, or are you looking at to kind of, even kind of, once this technology is evolved, you want to kind of export it out or sell it outside via BPCL? What is the planning around any of it?
It's too premature to comment now. We have just entered into the agreement. So, we will see how it evolves.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Agarwal from Sterling Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity. One question I have is, this in consolidated statement, you have shared a profit and loss from equity accounted investees. So it has swung from, in the last 9 months, it has swung from loss to profit. So can you give me the breakup from which joint ventures these profits are coming roughly?
Last year, 9 months period, BORL was a joint venture. That was the reason whatever losses of BORL, it has been accounted as share of profit from the investee accounted investee. That is one reason. Second one, we have certain JVs in exploration side. There, whatever relinquishment and whatever losses happened, last year that was accounted in 9 months period. So this year, BORL becomes a subsidiary, so it is a line by line consolidation.
And the gas companies
and current year, all the gas companies, the performance is good, the JV companies.
Okay, so now BORL is not included in this.
For this period, it is not there because it becomes subsidiary from second quarter of this year.
Okay, got it. So this is 1187 is from entirely from gas.
1187, yeah.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Avadhoot Sabnis from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The first question was on the consolidated accounts on Mozambique. Our understanding is that because the project is in the development stage, you are capitalizing all costs relating to Mozambique. So in that framework, can you just explain a bit as to why you needed to put anything, expense out this, whatever you have done in the third quarter, even if it's taken as an exception?
Because this project has been declared under force majeure under a suspension period, so as per accounting standard under suspension period, some of the expenses we cannot take it as a capital item because it will not add any value to the asset. So during suspension period, some of the expenses we cannot capitalize.
Okay. And then what is this interest then? Interest anyway you have been capitalizing, right? Whether it is suspended or not suspended earlier prior to all these years you have been...
Other than suspension period, for example, any project under suspension period, generally some of the cost components we cannot capitalize.
So the entire interest on loans on Mozambique during the suspension period is what you have written off, is it?
Right.
Okay. And as soon as the suspension period is over, you'll continue to now capitalize going forward.
Now, for example, if the project is come back, so then the normal accounting process will continue.
Which is true from fourth quarter, right?
That is what we are expecting. Hopefully, there are some good things are happening. Let us hope.
If it remains under suspension, you will continue to, you have to charge it to P&L, is it? All the expense, all the interest costs.
Yes.
Okay. Whereas project cost, anyway, I presume there will be nothing more.
As of date, there is no revised estimates on project cost.
Okay. Second question was on PetCam. You mentioned that, you know, specialty PetCams has been a challenge. If I recollect correctly, the earlier proposal on specialty chemicals was to do it in a JV with a specialized partner, and that got aborted at some stage. Are you not? Is it not possible to revisit that at all? Do it through JV partner?
No, as of date, two reasons why polyol we have discontinued. One is on the project cost. Second one is on the technology challenge. Right, as you said. Today, PDPP, after a long struggle, 3-4 quarters almost, we have struggled to come back to the stabilization. So with this learning curve, we are expecting these type of complex projects cannot have a 100% refining utilization or project utilization. So when this type of projects, 100% utilization doesn't happen, definitely we need a strong technology partner. Then only these projects can be viable. That is what our understanding in terms of niche petrochemicals. So as of date, we don't have any JV partner. Maybe in future, for example, if anything comes, still we can explore. But by the time, in case if polypropylene project can utilize the entire whatever propylene availability at refinery, so that my refinery output also properly we can utilize.
Next question, sir. The standalone debt is 8038 with, as I said, additional on the lease liability. Could you share the corresponding number on a consolidated basis, if it's possible?
Exact number we don't know, but otherwise more or less same only. Other group companies, they don't have any major leases.
No, the proper debt. I presume BORL and DPRL will have debt, right?
No, debt is there. You want debt portion or lease liability portion?
Yeah, I want just the debt. 8038 is the corresponding figure for consolidated.
I agree. 8038 is only lease liability, lease obligations.
Sorry. So whatever is the debt number, sorry, which is what?
Debt number. On consolidated
number? Sir, for the BORL again...
Consolidated.
53,000 crores.
Consol basis, the debt levels are 53,000 crores.
Okay. And on the blending portion, I realize you may not have gone through the fine print, but on the whole blending issue from October, I presume the government doesn't prescribe the blending level, right? So basically, whether the blending level is 7% or 0.5%, even if it's 0.5%, the lower excise would apply, right?
As if whatever yesterday notified, it was not clear at what blending levels. Maybe we have to wait and see what is the fine print and what notification comes.
Okay. And lastly, sir, and you know, whatever, this is not a question, this is just an observation. I mean, I heard what you said, the inventory gains are not material because you hold very little inventory. But as per your own figures, out of 4.06 of GRM reported in FY21, 2.21 was inventory. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kirtan Mehta from Bob Caps. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving me this opportunity. In terms of the privatization, would you be able to elaborate on the steps those are remaining before government can invite financial bids? This is the first question.
No, other steps, definitely government had to declare the reserve price and the transaction advisor had to calculate and the SP had to be finalized. There are some milestones they have to achieve before calling for the financial bids. But entire process is being carried out by DIPAM only. So from our side, only whatever data quarterly basis, we have to provide the data and we have to reply for the queries.
Just a sort of follow-up, when you say there are certain milestones to be achieved, what would that entail?
We are not involving in the process. So I don't have any milestones and dates. Either the transaction advisor or DIPAM only can have the milestones for this.
Sure, sir. Thank you. And in terms of sort of the PDPP project, once we reach the sort of the optimum utilization level of 75 to 80% that we can sustain through Q4, would your earlier guidance of sort of it adds around $1 per barrel to the refining margin, does that still hold true or do you think that that would change depending on the environment?
No, We are hopeful. Actually, recent price trend, the crude prices have gone up, whereas petrochemicals prices have come down. But a longer term, this contraction should not happen. But overall, we are expecting whatever guidance, whatever we expect, that should continue. That should continue, provided if our refinery project capacity utilization is at 70% to 80% level.
Right. And one more question, if I may, in terms of the LPG, you declared the receivables number from government at 196 crore. Would you be able to sort of share the number of eligible subsidy for the Q3 quarter that you have calculated as of now?
I don't have exact number. Later we can submit to how many number of people are eligible for the subsidy.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. In interest of time, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
On behalf of BPCL team, I thank all the investors for taking part in the conference call. Also, I thank Antique Stock Broking Limited for organizing this call. We look forward to meeting after the next quarterly results. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.